Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 282, top of the day to you. All right, this week, instead of watching suggestions, we've got a very special guest, Ariana Schneider, who is a, well, all things music is probably sits in her passion. But what is really fascinating is that she's written a musical, and I want to know, what makes someone want to write a musical? Do you come up with the story first? Is it the music first? Where? How does it all come together? And I thought we'd get her onto the podcast and sit her down, probably not strap her down, but just we'd like sit her down and be really nice and polite to her and maybe ask some questions. Ariana, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks, Leah. How are you going?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. It's kind of the middle, or coming up to the middle of the year here in Australia, so that, you know, we've got winter and a lot of people are starting to get a bit sick. We've got a few, you know, now we've got the cold, we've got the flu, and now we've got COVID, and we've got three things all happening at once.
I can attest to that because I'm just getting over the flu.
Yeah, right, okay. Was it a really bad one or...?
Very painful, yeah, like a lot of physical pain. But I'm getting better now.
Good.
Still just a blocked, so if I get a bit of a cough.
Yeah. So what? When you've got the flu or a cold or something that will mess with not just like your throat or your vocal cords, but also like your sinuses and your ears and stuff, does it make you want to do less with music or – more? Because I would imagine sometimes, you know, if you've got your headphones on or whatnot and you're listening to music or creating something, and if your ears are a bit funny, you know, with being all blocked up, does that make things difficult for you or just unpleasant?
Not really, no. I think when you've been in an industry for so long and you've learned to step up, you just do whatever needs to be done.
Yeah, right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, you just have to because you have to.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I get it. And you said that you've been in this sort of industry for many years. Can you give us like a quick background?
Well, I trained as a classical singer at the Sydney Conservatorium, and at the same time I also studied acting at the Independent Theatre in North Sydney. And so both of those ran pretty parallel. And I love music. I was brought up with music, and I fell madly in love with the theatre. And they've been passions of mine for ever since I was about 19.
Yeah, right. Okay. And had you beforehand, because you said you grew up with music, had you beforehand, but you know, before you were 19, gone to a lot of musicals or enjoyed them, or even just enjoyed the musical, like, films that have been popular over the years?
Oh yes, we love the musical films. Musicals themselves were so massive in those days. I loved the musical films, and I was brought up I learned piano from a very early age.
Yeah, right.
And so that sort of introduced me to music. And then and I always had a good voice, even as a little kid.
Yeah.
So I sang for aunties and uncles and played the piano. And, and then I decided that I wanted to become an opera singer. So I went to the conservatorium. And then there was the myth, or possibly a bit truer in those days, that opera singers were lousy actresses and actors.
So right, I thought, well, okay.
I just wanted to round out my education. So then I joined the Independent Theatre School of Dramatic Art and fell madly in love with it. I was just, I'm addicted. I am actually addicted.
Still addicted. Still addicted.
Still addicted, yes. In fact, even if I see a grand staircase somewhere, the desire to just do these high kicks coming down are still very strong.
Start singing as you wander up and down.
Along the rail and all of that sort of stuff, yeah.
So you were saying that you were sort of doing both courses at the same time. Did you have any classmates that were doing the same thing?
No, not that I know of.
Yeah, right. Because I would imagine that seems like something that you wouldn't have been the only one who would have been interested in both of those sort of artistic mediums.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I actually was a member of the Conservatorium Opera School at a later date.
Sure.
So we actually did performances of operas. So that was that, you know, people would have gotten their stage training then as well. Yeah, right.
And with the opera, was that a genre that you were really well aware of? Like, were your parents playing opera all the time when you were at home? Or was it something that you went, whoa, what is this? I need to be a part of it.
Initially, our education consisted of going to concerts at the Town Hall in Sydney.
Fun.
Yeah. And I had an uncle who had his own private theatre, used to show us operas on the screen. So the first opera I saw was Faust. And that scared me so much because of the devil that was in it that I ran out of the room. But we saw other operas as well.
Yeah. Less scary, less frightening. Yeah.
Less scary. Yeah.
less horror. Horror opera, that's a new thing. I didn't even know that existed. That's amazing.
Sometimes there's some awful moments, a lot of bloody shed, etc.
Yeah, I guess when you think about it, a lot of operas, the actual stories, not really the happiest around, is it?
No, they're not. No.
Yeah.
The singing and the music is sublime.
Yes, and that makes it less scary so that people can tolerate being there, I guess.
They're much less scary than some of the movies that are shown.
Absolutely, 100%. You're 100% right there. So with all of this training and you said piano from about the age of 9, you definitely had everything you needed in terms of education, skill, talent to go out there and write, create your own musical, which is something that you did. I want to know which comes first, the book, which is the book of the musical, or is it the music?
Well, what came first actually was the book.
Right.
And this is many, many, many years later, Leah, I must tell you.
Okay.
I actually wrote this one because this is my first major musical I've written because I've worked in the schools in the district,
yep,
teaching drama and music and singing. So I've written many musicals for the schools, some of the local schools. But I read a book, a series of books actually, called Telos, written by a lady called Aurelia Louise Jones. And the story was about a civilization called Lemuria. It's based on a myth.
Right.
A civilization called Lemuria that lost its way. But actually, it's very a parallel story to Atlantis, where the civilization disappeared below the sea.
Yeah.
But in Lemuria, there were 25,000 citizens who were saved, and they decided that they wanted to create a better civilization than the one that they'd been living. And so they created this mystical realm called Telos, a crystal city. And so that really spoke to me because we are so saturated with negative news, and there's so much around us that we hear and we know is going on in this civilization, and some people think we're doomed, with what's happening with the planet, etc. That I just thought, I want to do something. I want to write something uplifting that's going to say, look, hey, this civilization did it. Why can't we?
Yeah, so they created their own utopia, I guess. Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
I came up with the idea that the book inspired. It's inspired me to write the musical. So then I had to create a story to take us to this utopian world. And so I created a story about a young girl who has otherworldly powers, and I really want to ask the question too, that are there people who actually have these abilities, who have the ability to see beyond the veils? So Mirabelle is one of those people.
Yeah, right.
And so she had the courage and the desire to utilize her unique gifts and to be of service somehow. Even as a little girl, she kept having images of this crystal realm that was, that was beautiful. People were always kind to each other and compassionate, and you know, all the qualities, all the great qualities that we as human beings have. And she just had this idea that she really wanted to do something to help the real world, in inverted commas.
Yeah. Use her powers for good, not evil. She didn't
That's
go to
right.
the dark yeah. side.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly nice. Right. And there is something about humans and also human stories, you know, like stories that people make up to tell other humans, that we really love the thought of having some sort of superpower or something different that will help us become a hero and help the greater good. And we love those kind of stories. And with music as well, you know, intertwining and probably like lifting up some of these story plots or these story points that you want to get to, a musical with all of that must have just been so much fun to create.
It was fun. It was enormous fun, and it was a lot of hard work as well.
I bet.
It's been quite a journey for me, and I've really put myself totally out of my comfort zone. But I actually produced the musical as a finished production in my home city of Taree.
Nice.
We played three full houses, and there were 14 children in it. There was a cast of 34 altogether.
Wow.
Yeah, and the community really, bless their hearts, stood right behind me. They just, you know, I'm a member of our local arts council, which puts on fabulous musicals anyway. So they were really behind me, and I was able to utilise their premises to do the rehearsals, and I just got so much support. I got a grant from the council.
Oh, amazing.
And the kids loved it. That was the thing, because one of the reasons I've written this musical is for children, because they are so bombarded with negative news.
Yeah.
And I just wanted them to see, look, you know, it doesn't have to be like that, you know, and there are ways you can live, a joyous life and, you know, not be so browbeaten, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. And because you were writing it for children, not necessarily children that had been as trained, vocally trained as you or adults or even children who, you know, are really focused and driven on going down this path, did you as a writer have to be very mindful of how you composed each song for the performers?
Well, I did audition. I ran auditions for it, and I see this music. Taree has a very rich music theatre culture and theatre culture generally, and so I wrote the children's songs within their range,
yep.
because I've been a singing teacher, so I know,
yeah, you know,
the range
yeah.
can do. So I wrote the music within their range, but they also like a challenge. You know, the finale is fairly tricky, and they did it. You know, so it was a whole cast song, but they did it, and I was so proud of them, and they loved the experience. They really did.
How old were they? I just wanted to know how old. What was sort of the age range?
From about 10 till about, well, there were younger children, then there were teenagers as well. So 10 till 16, 17.
Yeah, right. Yeah, nice. That's a massive range.
Oh, yeah. Well, the children are in it, and then they, because the heroine, Mirabelle, starts off as an 8 to 10-year-old, then she becomes, then the play changes to when time passes and she's a 16-year-old, and then she's an 18-year-old. So the little children played not only school children, but they also played fairies and gnomes and elves and, you know, had a good time.
yeah, a lot of costume changes. Who had to make the costumes? Who was in charge of that?
Mums of kids.
Yeah, sure.
Wonderful lady who is a terrific costume designer, so she was there all the time. You know, it just all happened. I was also able to borrow some costumes from some of the local school wardrobes who put on musicals. So, yeah.
So you talk about this utopia and Mirabella's plans for a better world. Can you kind of, without giving too much away, obviously we don't want spoilers. We want people to go and see it if possible. What are these issues that she wants to eradicate?
Well, she's come through quite a trial by fire herself. Her parents split up, mainly because her father couldn't handle her, what he considered weird ways. He thought she was just too out there. So one of the issues in the story is parental separation and also non-acceptance, you know, how parents have expectations on their children. They want them to be one way when they really can't relate to that way. They are different. So it's celebrating differences as well. There's bullying in the school playground. That is an aspect. There's the rascal in the musical, or the dark element, is a young boy called Sly.
Okay. And he's the bad guy. Yeah, right, okay.
And he becomes absolutely obsessed by her and jealous of her abilities. So he works very hard to on the dark side to try and undermine everything she does. And I think because she is so true to herself, I think that's one of the great elements of the musical. You know, she has stayed true to herself. She's out there. She doesn't make any allowances for how she is. And she shows a lot of courage as far as that's concerned.
Non-conformity, not censoring herself to become, you know, just part of the pack.
That's exactly right. Yeah. She's completely non-conformist. And she's got a couple of friends who will support her, but most of her friends just don't get it.
But that's what happens when you're a teenager. You know, you may change, or your friends may change, may get different interests, and then suddenly, you know, people that you were friends with perhaps don't get you anymore. And that's just part of growing up.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. And she makes no apologies. I describe her as being feisty.
Yep.
She makes no apologies for how she is.
Yeah, she sounds like a really interesting character that that audiences and younger audiences can find inspiration from.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so.
Yeah, amazing. So with all of this, there's so much work, like you said, so many years, but behind all of this, to have three successful nights, you know, of performances, that must have just been an amazing feeling. But you want more, right? You want more. You want more amazing nights, right?
Oh, absolutely. I do want more amazing nights in many more places, and I would love my music to be heard. I've had a lot of feedback about people who've said that they really love the music. So I do want more, and I have been promoting my musical. It's an interesting journey.
Crystal Dreaming.
Crystal Dreaming.
Crystal Dreaming, yeah. And do you feel like Mirabelle, even though her, you know, this is her story, this is her journey, do you feel that you haven't finished with her, in that you want her story to be told over and over and over again for new audiences?
Well, as the musical exists now, do you mean?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yes, I really want this story to go out there. I really do. I'm very passionate about that.
Yeah. So many years and work behind it. I can just, you know, once you feel it's done, you don't want it done. I imagine, like, I've never written anything like that before, but, you know, all that hard work, you want it to just continue.
I do, actually, Leah, but I am more than happy to hand it over now to someone else.
Yeah,
who
right.
Says, yeah, I really like this. Let's produce it. Let's direct it. Let's put it on, you know, at the opera house, maybe.
Yeah. Well, there are so many towns and cities all across Australia that have theatres, and theatres that are capable of doing amazing musical productions. How can they get in contact with you?
I have a website which has got all my details on it.
Amazing.
And also I have sent the musical out to quite a few producers. And I think hearing my music heard, I put my music on YouTube, but
oh,
I would
nice.
really, but I would really, it's sort of, it's very obscure. Like, you know, if you don't know of the music and you don't know of the songs, and no matter how many times you try and send it out. So I would really love it. It's actually played on ABC Radio, one of the main songs
Beautiful.
Here in Taree. That was quite a few years ago. But, yeah, I've been told, you know, to go to regional radio stations and things like that. But I would really love the music to be heard, because then people could understand what it's about, because the story is in the words of the music as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So crystaldreamingthemusical.com is the website to go and check everything out. Everything's there.
That's right. Everything is there. Yeah.
Crystaldreamingthemusical.com. Amazing. Ariana, it's been really fascinating having a chat with you just about processes and the feelings, and because I like to, like, as someone who watches things, you know, I sit there and watch it, but I don't know how it's made. I don't know the process. So it's fascinating to be able to chat with people who have actually, from start to finish, done the whole entire thing. And it's a talent that many of us will never have. So it's amazing that you not only were able to do it, but to come on and share the process with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Leah.
Wanna be here in this plight? Don't wanna see what isn't right. My soul is seeking for another way. This world I see is out of kilter. My eyes are opening, the veils are lifting. Here I am, as I am. The
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.